saturates everything from advertising to music to movies and television, there is little doubt that Rashi's comment must speak to us today as it did in his own time. There has been an almost total erosion of the idea of tzniut, modesty, in our time, and the mass media appropriation of sex that permeates our culture is clearly antithetical to the traditional Jewish idea that sex is sacred and most appropriately expressed privately between loving partners. There is little sense of sex as something sacred in U.S. popular culture. In that context, one could fairly say that to separate oneself and/or one's children from the prevailing cultural norm would certainly fall within the idea that the classical commentators advanced. Holiness must involve separating from the worst that society has to offer when it comes to rampant sexual objectification. Additionally, one might fairly say that the glorification of material wealth and materialism in general that so permeates mainstream U.S. culture flies in the face of Judaism's teaching, so beautifully expressed in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers, that the truly wealthy person is one who is satisfied with what he has. Judaism has no prohibition against being wealthy, but the constant longing for ever greater riches is not a Jewish value. Separating ourselves from that idea, which is so much a part of contemporary U.S. culture, would also seem an essential component of the quest for a holy life. But beyond those areas of mainstream U.S. culture where the prevailing ethos is so clearly not a Jewish one, the questions become more difficult to navigate. To take one particularly challenging example, we might consider the fact that so many American Jews have integrated the widespread U.S. embrace of late marriage and small families and made it their own. There is nothing remotely either immoral or unethical about either of these choices, and yet they undoubtedly contribute to the demographic challenge faced by the conservative movement. With so many of our younger members marrying late and having smaller families, we are not biologically reproducing ourselves. Does the ancient command of Kedoshim / Purushim Tihiyu oblige us to separate ourselves from this very common American practice that is clearly not a bad thing in the sense that out-of-control sexuality and materialism are, but nonetheless challenges our community's long-term robust survival? Or is the radical autonomy that so characterizes today's society simply something that Judaism will have to make its peace with or even find value in, as it has with so many external challenges through the millennia? When I was a teenager, a rabbinic teacher of mine used to say that the challenge of the Jews was to be soche keneged hazerem, to swim against the societal tide. He was saying it to try and dissuade us from participating in protests against the Vietnam War, and we all thought him hopelessly irrelevant to us and our reality. All these years later, his framework for the challenge of Jewish life in the diaspora, not about the Vietnam War per se, but in general, seems more relevant than ever. As the commentators of the Talmud might have said, Tzarich Iyun. It both requires and deserves further thought.